And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
Big news week in the NHL with tons of fantasy implications, brought to you by good friends over at Skip. It's time for another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 7, Mailbag Edition. Nick Elberga and Jake Hahn with you. What's going on, Jake?
Nick, we're about a week away from Thanksgiving here, and I am ready to stick a fork in a bunch of teams in the National Hockey League. So we'll get to that. That comment and all of our other comments on this podcast brought to you by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.
Nicely done, Jake. We got a turkey-sized announcement off the top. Chris Meaney, you folks know him well from NHL.com and NHL Fantasy, the newest member of the team. And we are pumped to have him. He's going to be on today's podcast, breaking it down, talking some betting with us. This is a great addition, man.
Awesome addition. Very smart guy. Been following Meaney and his content for years now. And hey, not only hockey, I can maybe bug him about my fantasy football roster and see if I can get some help there as well. So looking forward to bringing Meaney into the fold here.
Jake, lots to cover on today's podcast. Let's just jump into it. I can't remember a week this busy in like a four-day frame as this week, week seven in the NHL. We'll start with something we speculated upon on Monday's episode. It happened the day after. Jim Montgomery out in Boston. Joe Sacco slapped with the interim tag. Your thoughts?
I mean, no surprise. I think based on the way that the Bruins were playing, right? And we recorded on Monday before that Columbus game, and I thought, okay, if this is ever a get right spot, it has to be tonight, right? You're facing Columbus. You got one of the worst teams in the league in your own barn. Not only did they lose, Nick, but they weren't even competitive. They give up a couple shorthanded goals, and that's just the classic coach firing loss. So I don't think anybody's surprised about it. Just crazy to look at Montgomery's record, though, over the last few years, see that winning percentage, and then have a guy that's out of a job a month and a half into the season. But we know this is how the league works. Team with high expectations like Boston, you don't meet them, coach usually gets gassed.
Winning percentages in the sevens, Nick, and he's out because Pete Blackburn has all the pull in Boston, apparently. He chirps, and then Sweeney and Neely go running and get the job done and fire Monty. Wow.
I guess so. 41 games, regulation losses in 41 games. I mean, that is outstanding stuff, and the fact that he's unemployed, but he'll be unemployed for as long as he wants to be. From a fantasy perspective, we wonder about new coach bump. Is it going to be a thing? We talked about this earlier in the week. I just don't feel heavily, coaching change or not, about the majority of this roster. Like, the intriguing files obviously goes without saying, Pasternak, Marchand. I guess the big thing I would say off this firing is I think the buy-low time is going to close on Jeremy Swayman, Jake.
Well, and that's where I want to see the improvement with this team, Nick. Digging into some of the numbers, it's actually perplexing how bad this team has been defensively and keeping the puck out of their net. I thought if what Boston's strength is going to be this year is exactly that. Win games 3-1, win games 4-1, low scoring, lock it down, lean on the defense. They're near the bottom in almost every defensive metric out there, and goaltending obviously hasn't been great either. You mentioned Jeremy Swayman, so he's the one I would hope to see get a boost. Like, maybe we get McAvoy going a little bit on the back end in terms of production. But I think if Boston's going to turn this around, I don't know if you agree or disagree, they got to get back to that low-scoring Bruins hockey. I don't think this team is built to win 5-4, 6-5 games.
Yeah, they just seem really, really lost right now, and I can't jump on this. I know the coaching change works for a lot of teams in this league, but maybe they're a flawed roster. And I think, honestly, yeah, the easiest scapegoat in pro sports is the head coach, so that's what's happening right now for the Boston Bruins, and specifically Jim Montgomery. Can I interest you in Joe Sacco for Jack Adams?
I don't think I can get there. There's just too many other good cases going on right now around the league, Nick. Like, if you look at some of the stories, and obviously we know what's going on in Minnesota and Winnipeg, you know, just to mention a couple, obviously Washington has been an excellent story too. I think the Bruins would have to do something pretty special down the stretch here for him to actually get into that conversation. It's possible, but like you said, I kind of think this roster is flawed, and I picked them to win the Atlantic. What a horrible pick by me. We know that's not happening. We could rule that out now. Just trying to make the playoffs, I think, is got to be the goal for them moving forward here. Luckily for them, nobody in the Eastern Conference has stepped up. All these middling teams, Ottawa, Detroit, Buffalo, nobody's done anything significant. So if Boston still wants that spot, it's there for them to go out there and take it.
Guys, isn't it a lovely morning with Buffalo 1 point ahead of Boston for the last playoff spot in the East? I'll just say that. But also a buy low window here. We dumped Elias Lindholm out of our top 200 rankings the other day. You know there's going to be a coach bump here, at least in the first game against Utah. Utah's banged up. Connor Ingram's injured, right? And I was checking the power play time on ice per game. League leaders. Pasternak 1, Marchand 3, Lindholm 4, McAvoy 5. They're logging a ton of power play ice time and a couple of wrinkles and changes, and Boston will be on track a little bit.
Yeah, you're right, Petey. Looking forward to that game on Thursday night as Utah takes on the Boston Bruins. And the new coach bump, is it going to be a thing right off the bat here? They got to bounce back specifically after that game against Columbus. Jake, we don't know the extent of Zach Hyman just yet, just leaving that game against Ottawa the other night. But Ovechkin week to week, that's a big time blow for the record, at least this season. JT Miller, a leave of absence. Where do you want to start?
Ovechkin. That was just such a buzzkill watching that game. You know, the guy gets a hat trick the game before. He's sitting on two. I'm thinking, okay, we're on empty netter watch. Are we going back-to-back hatties here? Then he gets hurt. He does the little twirl, tests it out. And as soon as he left the game, Nick, I know you could probably look at that and say maybe it's precautionary. You know, your game's in hand already. Nah, he's hanging out there for the empty netter if he can. So as soon as he left, I thought this has got to be something kind of significant. This guy's built different, so you hope that it's, you know, on the lower end of the timeline that we've been given, and week to week is a little bit murky. We're not really getting anything significant here. Do you still believe in this Caps roster without Ovechkin? Obviously, we don't know exactly how long he's going to be out, but are you still okay backing Washington, maybe some other guys in that lineup fantasy-wise that could step up in his absence?
Weirdly, I am, Jake. Like, I think the system and the structure has been really, really evident. Like, of note, Ovechkin has scored 19% of Washington's goals, 15 of 78. Just a side note on Ovechkin, I think you're so bang on. Like, that's my stance, too, is like, if this guy could go, he could go. Stability's been a big story in his career, and it takes a lot to take him out of the lineup. And that's a concern to me, that he's week to week. If he's got to miss games, you know it's pretty serious on the Ovechkin front. But I think internally, I look at guys like Connor McMichael, Andrew Mangiapane to maybe supply a bit of secondary scoring, obviously, in the absence. I wonder what this means for the Dylan Strome file. Like, obviously, they're going to have to play a bit different. You lose the best goal scorer of all time, in my opinion, in Alex Ovechkin, or soon to be. It's going to be a tough hole to replace. But weirdly, I think the Caps will be okay.
Well, and there's a lot of power play time to replace as well, yep, as you know, because Alex Ovechkin's PP1, PP2, if there was a PP3 and a PP4, he would also be on those units as well. The guy does not leave the ice when there's a power play, so significant amount of time to soak up there. I don't know exactly who's going to get it. Mangiapane is an interesting name, a guy that hasn't really gotten a lot of power play time, or at least first unit power play time throughout the course of his career. Great even strength player, and when he does get the time, I think he's a player that could be effective in that role, so maybe something to keep an eye on there. But I still like a lot of these files in Washington, Nick. And how many times do we see a star player go out in any sport? But obviously we're focused on hockey here. Star player goes out and the team elevates their game. We're seeing it in Toronto right now with Auston Matthews out of the lineup.
Yeah, that's exactly it. They're 6-1, and that's something I did want to get to on today's podcast. Just the infirmary for the Leafs continues. Matthew Nyes, the latest, looks like a conky for him. But no Matthews, no Nyes, no Domi, no Kampf, Pacioretty, Yarncroke. The list goes on and on and on. Anybody in that top six interest you? I know Fraser Minton started on the third line, scores his first NHL goal on Wednesday night against Vegas. Any files interest you in the top six there in Toronto right now?
Well, that crazy Russian kid looks like a lot of fun that came up. At least he's got the personality. I don't know about a fantasy asset just yet. I'm going to need to see a little bit more. But he was buzzing around there, and you mentioned Fraser Minton getting a bit of a look. I still like Bobby McMahon, or as I like to call him, Bobby McShot Prop, because he loves to shoot the puck when he gets in the O-zone, and he's getting way more minutes than he was. Like, he'd been hitting his overs anyways, getting 13, 14, 15 minutes a night. Now he's getting closer to 20 minutes playing with some big boys. I like McCann. I think he's got some jump to his game. Still, you know, barely owned across most leagues. So Bobby McMahon, I'd be looking to right now.
I'm playing the shot prop on Sunday, by the way, against Utah with Bobby McMahon. He's been shooting the puck at a crazy rate. Speaking of which, so Auston Matthews, I guess the Leafs disclosing that he was over in Munich. Now, naturally, delivered by Skip, plenty of questions courtesy. And speaking about Auston Matthews, if you're a Matthews owner right now, Jake, how you feeling? Because I don't know. Like, a lot of people I advised in the last couple of weeks to buy low on this file, but that concerns me that he went across the pond to seek help here.
I think if we were ranking this on a concern meter of 1 to 10, at first when you saw day-to-day, you were like, you were just at the 2 range. You're thinking, okay, this is nothing. Now we're kind of, you know, creeping our way to 5. Okay, now maybe we're at 6 or 7. Okay, Germany, this isn't good. So, yeah, I would absolutely be concerned because you don't want your star player on your fantasy roster to be out this long. That being said, you made the point, Nick, about buying low on him, and maybe you're not as interested now. I still would. I think people can panic a little bit with injuries, especially to top players, and I think the Leafs are going to play this uber safe. They have other superstars on that roster. Mitch Marner's actually been an excellent fantasy asset over the last few weeks. William Nylander, we know how terrific he is. So I think they know they have the parts to play without Austin Matthews, and they're going to wait until this guy is absolutely 100% to get back in the lineup. So if someone wants to trade him, I'd be happy to take him off their hands.
I wouldn't sleep on buying low on Austin Matthews, regardless of the injury here. Jake, just circling back as well on Zach Hyman, as mentioned, undisclosed. We don't know much on the extent of the potential injury. But internally, if he can't play, Podkolzin, Skinner are two guys I would look at. Also, like, would they split up McDavid and Draisaitl, been playing together once again? I just wonder what this means for Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, who's had a pretty slow start to this season too.
Hey, don't forget about Kasperi Kapanen, picked up off waivers. Maybe he's the answer to the depth scoring issues in Edmonton. But no, I want to see one of these guys that they picked up in the offseason step up. I've always been a huge Victor Arvidsson fan. I know it always seems to be banged up with something, but if he can get a decent line assignment and start to go, if healthy, then he's a guy I'd still look to in that lineup. I think Hyman's going to end up being one of the most frustrating fantasy files of the season. If he's injured now, we know he was struggling already. The good thing at Edmonton, though, Nick, Connor McDavid looks like the old Connor McDavid again. I don't know. It felt like maybe he was dealing with something early in the year. Ever since he's come back from that injury, he has just been incredible. So maybe that's a good thing for the surrounding cast in Edmonton.
Stop me if you've heard this before. They need a save. I just don't know how I feel about Edmonton because they can't get a save right now. We've seen this in various points of Connor McDavid's career, regardless of the goalie. In Vancouver, JT Miller, as mentioned, taking a leave of absence. Internally, I think you're looking at Jake DeBrusk. Kiefer Sherwood intrigues me. 7 shots on goal against the New York Rangers the other night.
Yeah, Connor Garland's been a sneaky fantasy asset this year as well that might still be available in a lot of leagues. And I mean, he was already getting some pretty healthy minutes, some top 6 minutes, maybe with Miller out, even more of a role. And again, a lot of uncertainty in terms of the timeline on Miller. We don't exactly know how long he's going to be out. It's time for EP40 to pull up his socks a little bit. I actually think he's played a lot better over the last week or so. So hopefully if you have him, he can elevate his game a little bit. I like Sherwood, but Connor Garland's someone I'd certainly look to there.
Lastly, just some return reaction. Braden Point back in the mix. Robert Thomas back after fracturing his ankle. I think he missed 12 games there. Any interest in those two files, obviously?
Obviously Point, but what do you make of Thomas and the Blues, Nick? I don't know. It's just such a strange team to me. They could step up and really win any game, but they can also throw in some just horrendous performances. So I don't know what to make of St. Louis. It's just a team that I don't have a lot of interest in backing, but maybe fantasy-wise, Thomas can give them a little bit of a boost. Do you have any interest in the Blues?
Not from a fantasy focus. Like, I put in my notes here, good news for Kyrou. It goes without saying Buchnevich too, but they're not the first team I would jump to just because we talk about this a lot with Carolina, just the depth and how they spread their wealth throughout the lineup, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, and I think probably some of the only interest I had in the Blues coming into the season was their goaltending situation. Okay, can we get something out of Binnington, Joel Hofer, and even that has been subpar, right? So there's really not a lot going on there. Like, nobody is really popping on that roster. I was bullish and hopeful for a Jake Neighbors season, Nick, but it hasn't really happened there. And he's been getting the top line assignments and the power play time, but not really running with it. My Jake Neighbors shot prop is, we're off that now. We've moved on.
Dead to rights. Jake Neighbors is a guy I took in 2 of my keeper league drafts, and I've already dropped him, unfortunately.
Time for Neighbors to step up and get something going here, Nick. Let's salvage this fantasy season a little bit. Also, I think it might be time for some mailbag questions.
It is. We bring in Petey Jensen right now for a look at plenty of things happening in the fantasy hockey world. Petey, let's lead off with this one. Lots of questions about Dallas delivered by Skip, but is it time to drop Wyatt Johnston as the first question in the mailbag today?
We normally don't call out these folks individually, but this guy, Jackson Murphy on Instagram, Jackson, can we just calm down? Is it time to drop Wyatt Johnston? I mean, I know the guy has started off poorly here, but Jackson, what are we doing here with this question? This question is not brought to you by Skip. Skip doesn't want to be a part of this question. That one is ridiculous, Peter.
Yeah, I agree. Meany actually touched on it and made a good point the other day that Johnston, in each of the prior two seasons, his rookie year and stuff like that, he always heats up over the course of the rest of the season. Second half player, stuff like that, has been dynamite for them the postseason past couple of years. So I'm not worried about him, especially now he's got that good assignment with J-Rob and Hintz. He'll be fine.
Just calm down, Jackson. Calm down. Go get yourself a black and tan over at the pub there, Murphy. Get some suds, take some sips, and calm down. Keep Johnston on your team. How about that?
Petey, a couple questions regarding the Calgary Flames. Maybe fizzling out a little bit after that hot start, but still playing NHL 500 hockey. Time to drop Kadri. Sharon Govich hasn't been going. Any of these guys?
God, that Calgary Flames team can't score a freaking goal, Pete. It's tough to watch. It's tough to watch.
At least they have Dustin Wolf, though. Dustin Wolf is probably one of the only Flames that I would comfortably roster at this point. He's been one of the best goalies in the entire league. It's one of those things where some of the other guys ranked higher than him. Gustafson, Anthony Stolarz, guys like that that are super efficient so far. Joey Decord, another shutout. He's like up into 920 save percentage. Those guys get a little bit more love than Dustin Wolf in fantasy circles. But really, Wolf has not had much support in terms of goals, but has been as good as any goalie in the entire league this year.
He has been outstanding for the Calgary Flames thus far. I think another question, a lot of people have concerns about Washington, Petey, obviously without Alex Ovechkin week to week. This mailbag question, sell high on John Carlson after the Ovi injury. Pete, would you do that?
For the right price, yeah, I would. I think there are a couple guys. We don't know how long Ovi is going to be out. If it's a couple of weeks, maybe it wouldn't affect it too much. If it's a month or something like that, look at Dylan Strome, Protas, and John Carlson as the three guys that will take a big step back over the course of that span when Ovi is out. One beneficiary I know you guys mentioned is Mangiapane. I posed a question on the Instagram account, like who is going to step up in the biggest way while Ovi is out. To me, I want to see where Mangiapane is playing. This guy scored 35 goals just a couple of seasons ago and shoots a high percentage for his career at large.
Someone wrote in asking about Will Cooley, Pete. Is this sustainable, what he's doing there? I think it can be hard sometimes for depth players in New York because that top six is loaded, spoken for, power play time isn't necessarily there. But do you think it's sustainable what he's doing in New York?
He's been scoring this year. I know Hedl got banged up the other day, but I saw that Cooley had a 10-hit game the other day. So that is rare air for sure. Yes, I think it is sustainable. I think there is a void in the secondary scoring in New York. If he can bring some toughness, could be a good thing for the postseason to help the Rangers get over the hump. And meanwhile, in fantasy, I think he's definitely worth rostering with this sprinkle of scoring.
What to do with JT Miller is a big question stemming off the week, because I don't know if he's going to go on actual IR here, Pete. That's the question too, right?
Yeah, he's just too good to ever drop or something like that. So you're just going to have to keep a bench spot for him for whatever it is, six games or maybe more. Hopefully everything's good on that front long term. But I think that you just got to have to wait it out with Vancouver and stuff like that. Vancouver's top six right now without Miller is ugly right now, unfortunately. We hope Miller is back very soon.
Speaking of ugly, this one's ugly, Pete. Can I interest you in some Anaheim Ducks? Is it time to maybe take a chance on a Trevor Zegras, a Cutter Gauthier? I feel like we're going to do the Zegras trade rumor dance this year. Maybe it actually does happen, but any interest in those young guys in Anaheim?
Maybe Gauthier. I think I'm off on Zegras, and Leo Carlson has had a bunch of game winners this year, so he's coming to play here. Zellweger's great. Dostal, another one of those guys. I mentioned the biggest goalie surprises as we've entered the, around the quarter mark of the season. Dostal's got to be up there, if not number one in fantasy surprises this year. But yeah, some of those other Ducks, like the McTavishes and Terry, I'm not too interested in those guys anymore, unfortunately.
Let's bring in our main man right now. We teased it off the top. Welcome to the NHL Fantasy Family. It is Chris Meany. Means welcome, dude. How are you, bud?
Oh, man, fantastic. Yeah, happy to be here, guys. Always my favorite crew to join, and now I'm here full time. So I'm living the dream right now.
Christopher, you don't seem that thrilled. I mean, I'm doing okay. Yeah. I mean, Peter's got you running circles probably. How about a little energy here? How about you're on the Fantasy on Ice podcast as a member of the National Hockey League? You're an employee full time, benefits, the whole thing. Oh, yeah, everything's good. It's all good. It's like you sound like Belichick at a press conference, Chris.
Yeah, just on to Cincinnati. Listen, I think I'm still shook with the Wyatt Johnson conversations, right? It seems to be the guy that I've been asked the most about as well, with Wyatt Johnson. And just to echo what you guys said, I mean, he had 44 points in his final 47 games of last year. And I think, you know, watching Dallas, I think Pete DeBoer is just trying to find balance up and down the lineup. I mean, that Duchesne line has been fantastic with Sagan and Marchment. But every time I see Wyatt Johnson on the third line and, you know, Dadonov on the top line, it really does bother me. So, you know, him last night putting Wyatt Johnson on the top line with Roope Hintz and Jason Robertson. Not surprised to see the breakout, and I would hold and buy low because the window's going to close soon.
I think there's going to be weeks where Johnson's crushing it. There's going to be weeks where it's Stankoven. You mentioned Duchesne, Sagan. It's so balanced there in Dallas. You're right, and I do think it can be frustrating, I think, to own some of their players because of that inconsistency. Meany, I wanted to get into the Bruins with you. It's the big topic this week. Is this a team you're looking to back here coming out? Are you the classic, okay, coach gets fired, team's going to get that sugar rush? Are you going to be back in the Bruins here?
Yeah, I know Nick's all over that. Usually has the stats of the teams, and I'm sure there'll be a little bit of a boost here with the schedule moving forward. I mean, Utah tonight is a pretty good matchup. Detroit is coming off a four-game West Coast trip where they lost to the Sharks, they lost to the Ducks, so they got the Canucks and JT Miller shorthand, and the Islanders have their issues. So the next couple of games could be okay, but I'm not interested in this team at all. I'm not surprised that they're struggling. And last year, I thought that they got contributions from Pavel Zacha and Charlie Coyle, which was nice to see. But other than that, I mean, this team offensively, they can't bring it. They have two guys with double-digit points. That's it. You know, in Pasta and 17 and Marchand 13. Swayman's struggling, and I think that's on the front office. It took way too long to sign him. They traded Linus Ullmark before they had a contract for Swayman. So, you know, he was behind the eight ball to start, and this is a team that can't bring it offensively. You look at some of their numbers, and 5-5 numbers, they're absolutely pathetic. Fourth fewest shot attempts, only Philly, Detroit, Chicago worse. Third fewest shots, only Detroit, Montreal fewer than them. And bottom 10, PK, they have the worst power play in the league. Pete rattled off some of their numbers. I mean, these are guys that are getting a lot of power play time. I'd say over the next couple of weeks, maybe there's a little bit of a giddy up in their stride, but I don't view them as a playoff team. I think they have a lot of holes, and I think their bottom six is extremely weak. So the only guy that I'd be interested in buying low is Pasternak. And Brad Marchand, from a shot prop standpoint, pretty sneaky. He's been shooting the puck, and you look for the captain to step up tonight over the next couple of weeks, but I'm not interested at all in from them or from the betting market or buying low on any of their candidates.
Speaking of shot props, man, this is where you excel, the prop market, points, shot props. What have you been looking at lately?
Kirill Kaprizov. I mean, this guy's now the Hart candidate. He's been plus money for 2 points essentially all year long. He's got 6 goals and 12 points over a current 6-game point streak, 4 multi-point games over that span, 11 multi-point games in his last 15. He's got 33 points in 18 games. He leads all skaters in points at 5-5. So taking a look at him tonight for 2 points and what could be a fun game against the Oilers. From a shot prop standpoint, there's one guy. I go back to Marchand. I mean, 3-plus shots in 10 of his past 12 games. You figure they lean on him a little bit. But, Nick, I've been more into the point props than the shot props. I think that there's value there, like Jonathan Duran tonight, you know, his fourth game of the season, just his third back up in the top line with Nathan MacKinnon. He's nearly even money tonight for a point. You look at some of our edge stats over at NHL Fantasy, you know, over the past couple of years, he's been among the leaders in offensive zone time. So Jonathan Duran, Arturi Lehkonen, I know he's not on the first power play, but those are guys where they're just back into the lineup, so books really haven't adjusted. So there's good value on both of those guys at the score sheet.
Well, I was going to bring that up actually as well, Meany, and you mentioned it there. I find the shot props have been tricky over the last year or so, right? We've seen an adjustment in the price. Obviously, everybody wants to bet the over, so maybe opens up a little bit of value on unders for certain players. But have you adjusted that strategy a little bit? You mentioned going to point props. I don't know, maybe some assist props, things like that. Is that what you've been looking at a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely, Jake. Just, I mean, you're spot on. The books have adjusted. I remember, you know, a couple years ago, we're looking at Nathan MacKinnon and Austin Matthews for 2.5 shots. Now these guys, you know, when they're healthy and they're on the ice, it's 5.5. So I'm not a big unders guy. I do find that there's some value in the over market. But if you're following trends, and you know Andrew Mangiapane is a guy that you know has been brought up here a couple times in this podcast inside a top six role. So you know books will. I think they're a little slower to adjust on players that move up and down the lineup, especially get inside the top six and on the power play as well. Dorofeev is another guy. You know he's up on the top line with Jack Eichel, 19, 20 minutes over his last two games. You know he only had two shots last night. He has been pretty decent in the shot prop market, you know, 3+ shots in 8 of 11, but he's, you know, pretty much even value to pick up a point. And, you know, playing with Eichel is a pretty good spot for him.
If you're betting unders on shot props, you're a loser, plain and simple. Okay. We don't do that on this podcast. Sorry. We take overs for shot props. So I think naturally, you know, looking at the games over the next couple of days, a lot of action, but like the Boston game intrigues me to see how the response looks like. With Joe Sacco, I mean, is the play means Boston in regulation? Like, we think there's going to be a bounce back after they've just clobbered by Columbus the other night, right?
Yeah, I still feel a little hesitant to put my hard-earned bucks on the Boston Bruins. But, yeah, given the fact that the coaching change and, you know, Montgomery, the short end of the stick. I mean, I heard you guys talk about it. This is a guy that's rattled off a lot of wins in Boston. But this is a team that, of course, they have high expectations. So I would take a look at them tonight, maybe in 60. A little juicy to take them on the money line. But to win in regulation is not a bad play. And I'd go to Marchand. I'd go to the top guys. Like, if anybody's really going to step up tonight, it would be Brad Marchand and David Pastrnak. Maybe for him to find the back of the net, Marchand for an assist. I'd take a look at the shots. I'd feel a little bit better about Marchand 3 shots and the Bruins winning in regulation, to be honest.
How interested have you been in backing some of the worst teams in the league this year, Meany? Like the Sharks, the Blackhawks, the Ducks, these big dogs. I don't hate the Sharks tonight, guys. I know their second half of a back-to-back, that's never an easy spot, but seeing St. Louis as that big of a favorite, I don't know. Are you with me, Meany? Do you think the Sharks are kind of frisky this year, a team we could actually back a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. And even from a fantasy hockey perspective, a lot of their players, you know, from the Ducks and the Sharks, even Mikael Granlund, I know he's a hot waiver wire pickup, you know, over the first couple of weeks, but these were players that you could have taken in the final rounds of your drafts. I mean, Mikael Granlund's been fantastic, especially in the leagues with, you know, face-off wins. And Fabian Zetterlin is certainly interesting to me. He had the breakout campaign last year, 24 goals and 44 points. He's up on the top line, getting top power play time with the Sharks. He's got 11 points in his last 13 games, and he covers a lot of categories for me too, if you're in leagues with shots, hits, and blocks. And Binnington is another guy, right? An 887 save percentage, 21 goals allowed in his last 5. So I'd get behind the Sharks and the Ducks too. They play a high event brand of hockey. They're among the leaders in shot attempts, and they're among the leaders in allowing shot attempts. So it's fun from a fantasy perspective. Some overs have hit in their games this season. And I think Cutter Gauthier is a guy that people need to keep an eye on. You know, he's got a couple goals over his last couple games. He loves to rip it too. You know, we're all trying to find replacements for Ovechkin. He's one to consider.
A couple other spots I like. I mentioned the Bob McMahon shot prop on Sunday, Toronto and Utah. I like the three-way, Vegas-Ottawa three-way on Thursday. The Golden Knights coming off a loss to Toronto. Ottawa, yeah, surprise, surprise. That team coming off a stinker against Edmonton. It's Samsonov against Allmark. There's a bit of beef there. So I think a point could be in line for both those teams. And give me the Montreal reverse puck line on Saturday against Vegas. They always play the Golden Knights tough, and you know what that means because you're a Habs fan, right?
Yeah, I do know that. They've had some really great games against Vegas, so I like that call by you. Gabo Vilardi playing with Scheifele, who's just lighting it up, and Kyle Connor. He's been decent in terms of props as well against Pittsburgh. Owen Tippett has been really – it's hard to hold on to him, but he's still among the leaders in shot attempts. He's got a spot against the Blackhawks this weekend. And Jack Russell looks a guy to keep an eye on as well.
Means wanted to ask you about Patrick Laine. I saw he was skating the other day, and your response was like, Montreal's going to go on a little bit of a spoiler run here. Is that serious talk, or is this guy worth stashing in fantasy right now?
Absolutely, he's worth stashing. I don't know if they're going to go on a serious run. They have a lot of holes defensively. They give up a lot of rubber and a lot of chances, scoring chances, high danger chances, but their special teams has been great. You know, power play has been good. PK has been good. And you expect him to jump on the top power play. So again, another guy, it's impossible to replace for Ovechkin, but he loves to shoot the puck. And you know, the Habs have juggled their lines around a little bit, so I could see him playing with Suzuki right off the hop.
Last one for me. Can we get Big Val going, guys? It's only a couple games. I'm not going to worry too much, and maybe there's a little bit of an easing in process, but let's fire up the Big Val props tonight against Washington. Goal, shots. I want to see him get going a little bit here.
Okay. I have one pick and one spot I like. And I've been pretty good with the picks. I have to say, who screwed me the other night? The Avalanche up 3-0 with like 6 minutes left in the third period. And then the Flyers score two garbage goals, lose the puck line bet. But a team I mentioned earlier, I can't stand watching. I don't know who's got the worst offense, you know, the Predators or the Flames. I'm not sure. But I'm going out to the Saddle Dome tonight, and I'm taking the Flames over the New York Rangers at a nice price. You know, the Rangers off that Vancouver-Calgary swing. Calgary's tough to watch from an offensive perspective. But Wolf in goal has been good. I like the Flames tonight at home. Plus money, folks. Plus money.
Sounds good. Means that's your official hazy, man. Welcome to the team, buddy.
Oh, man. I honestly couldn't be happier. I know maybe I came in a little quiet, but couldn't be happier. We'll leave here with a 6-1 same game parlay for Bob here. We got Kaprizov 2 points, McDavid 2 points, Boldy, Draisaitl, and Bouchard for a point.
Okay, I like it. Let's happy to be a part of the fantasy crew. it's been great to be a part of it. I mean, little juice. Okay, put a bow on it, Nick.
All right, make sure to tune in later on this, or actually on Monday. I'm forgetting what day of the week it is. Monday, Week 8, Waiver Wire Edition. Thank you to producer Bobby for J-Con, Pete Jensen, and Chris Meany. I'm Nick Alberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice. Deliver by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.